We'll open our chapel this morning with prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is taken from later in the history of the nation of Israel. Later on in the Old Testament, long after the glory days of King David and King Solomon, after that united kingdom under those two rulers, the nation of Israel just kept declining and declining and declining. They lost battle after battle. They went away from God's worship. They came back. They went away. They came back. Things kept getting worse and worse. They lost war after war. And eventually, finally, that whatever was left was taken away completely. They were removed from their home and were carried off to the faraway land, Babylon. Now, after spending 70 years in Babylon, so most of the people in that first generation had already died by then, they were allowed to return. They were allowed to come home to the promised land. But what they came back to was a land that was devastated, destroyed. Their cities were in ruins. The walls were flattened. Their homes were wrecked. And worst of all, the temple of God was in ruins. It was at this time that Nehemiah came along. And Nehemiah was an advisor, a cupbearer to the king of Persia. And he talked to the king of Persia and got permission and resources to go back and help rebuild, to lead the rebuilding of Jerusalem, to lead the rebuilding of the walls, to lead the rebuilding of the temple. But while they were doing this, the nations all around Israel weren't real happy. In fact, they were constantly threatening battle. And so we're told in Nehemiah 4, verses 17 to 18, the people who were building the wall and those who were carrying the materials for building were doing their work with one hand, while the other hand held a weapon. As they built, the builders were armed. Each man had his sword on his hip. So if you can imagine that, trying to work while having your sword in one hand. That's what the people of Israel were called on to do at that time. That ensured that the work could continue, but they were still able to defend their home. Sorry, that's sliding down here. So what? What does this have to do with you and me today? Well, like the nation of Israel, we also have been called out of captivity. We were in slavery to sin. We weren't being held against our will in a foreign land, but we were held by the devil in that captivity to sin. But as we read in 1 Peter, God called us out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. God brought us out. He made us his special people through Jesus' death in our place, through his sacrifice. We are God's people. We have been called to our home. And now that we are his people, now that he has called us, he has work for us to do. He has called us to do things. Now the children of Israel, when they were brought back to Jerusalem, they were to build. They were to rebuild that temple, but also to defend. God calls us to do the same thing. Our life is one of both offense and defense. He calls us to defend against the devil and his attacks. In Ephesians 6, we're told to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. That's exactly what we're doing right here. We're listening to, meditating, learning from God's word, putting on that belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and of course, the sword of the Word of God. Now, these are all defensive weapons against the devil and what he does to us, because he hates nothing more than God's people. God's people, especially learning about him. He hates the fact that we're here listening to his word. He wants to trip us up more than anything else. So he attacks us all the time, constantly with temptations. Temptations to be mean to people. Temptations to be proud. Temptations to lie. Temptations to deceive. Temptations to put our own wants ahead of those of everybody else. These temptations are all around us. And again, we read in 1 Peter, this time from 5 verse 8, "Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Like on the basketball court, when your team is on defense, you have to be paying attention. You have to have your eyes up, be on your toes, have your hands up. Be ready, because that team is constantly trying to score against you. But that isn't all there is to basketball. Now, if you were to play perfect defense for an entire game and not allow the enemy to score at all, would you win? Not necessarily. Because you have to play both ends of the court. In basketball, you can't just tell your coach, "Well, I'm just going to stay on this end of the court and everybody else can go down to the other end." I don't know about you, but my coach really wouldn't have allowed me to do that. And if I said that to him, I probably would have been sitting on the bench pretty quickly. No, in basketball, you do have to play both ends of the court, defense and offense. And the same is true of our Christian life. Yes, we've been called to defend against the devil and use his word again and again. But we're also called to go on offense, to bring that message of forgiveness to everyone. Our Savior tells us in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then again in 2 Timothy, "Preach the word. Be ready, whether it is convenient or not. All the time. Go out. Bring that message of Jesus, that good news that he died for our sins. Bring it wherever you go. Bring it to a world that so desperately needs it." Like Israel, each one of us has been called out of captivity to sin, to be God's special people. And like Israel, we're called to be on ready to play defense, to use that word of God against the devil and all of his temptations. But God also calls on us to be on offense, to build his church here on earth, to share that gospel message, to share that news of our precious Savior from sin. Let us play both offense and defense in our Christian lives. And we'll sing of this in the words of hymn 668. Hymn 668, all three verses.